for the rest of us, let's take our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Last Sunday night, Brother Vessel started a series on things that will destroy your home. We've been looking at Home on the Rock, lessons I taught about 25 years ago or so, and God has used that to help a lot of homes. And so we were looking at things that will destroy your home. Last week, we looked at the subject of selfishness. This week, we're looking at the subject of anger. Now, a home can have these things and still be together, but it's going to provide a destructive source in the marriage that eventually will take its toll. And it does not mean that the marriage will dissolve, but it does mean the love in the marriage can die off. Because these things cannot be in a marriage, but what it just hammers away at it, week after week after week. And especially if you have several destructive things that are in a home. Now, we know that we are sinners saved by grace. And because of that, any one of us could have some of these destructive patterns. It's the very nature of our sinful heart. Selfishness. All of us have the tendency to be selfish, but we have to fight that so we can be selfless and be giving to our wives and to our husbands and to our children. And so you may have a pattern or a problem with anger. It does not mean you cannot get victory over that, but what it does mean is you will have to work at that, whereas someone who does not have that natural inclination to be an angry person really would not have to bother with that. There are many different things I've had to deal with in my own heart as a husband. Anger has not been one of them. I've not been prone to be an angry person. And I don't know why that is. I don't see it in my brother. I haven't seen it in my sisters. I didn't grow up that way. I did not grow up in an angry home. I grew up in a loving home. And so because of that, like begets like. And usually, your parents set a pattern for you. But many times, people have grown up in an angry home, and because of that, their natural inclination is to get triggered by the same things that triggered their home. So as we go through these things that will destroy a home, first of all, we're going to give a biblical foundation of the problem, and then we're going to look at the potential solution. We're going to show what the person who deals with anger, how to solve that. We're going to deal with a person who doesn't have the angry person but has the angry mate or someone in the home with anger issues. How do you deal with them according to a biblical perspective? So let's look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24, first of all, and then we will have a word of prayer. The Bible says in verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Now, that's a pretty good warning. Now, I'm not saying that a man who has anger issues cannot get victory over that, but I would suggest you not start the relationship until the victory has been gotten. Because it is inevitably going to show itself. And so be very, very careful about this. And especially you single men and women, you find someone and you see them just get angry and lose their temper. You better take note of that. You better think, let me think about this a little longer, because that is not the environment that you want for your home. Now, if you've already married someone, now I find out. Well, okay, now you and God have to work that out. And the good news is the grace of God can cover any of our sin and give us victory over any area that we are lacking in. So the Bible tells us here what to do, and it says to avoid the angry man. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and give us a truth that would help us in our homes. Lord, we see anger all around us. We go to a grocery store, you'll inevitably see it somewhere. You go to a department store, especially around Christmas when people are trying to stand in long lines and get gifts that others want. Lord, sometimes we see that. And Lord, sadly, sometimes we see it in our own lives. And we don't want that. And we don't want that in our marriages. We want what's best. We want your very best for all of our relationships. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll teach us about this subject of anger, how to avoid it, what to do with it, and give us victory in all of our homes, dear Lord, that we could have a peaceful home and a home where joy and love and acceptance is found. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So things that would destroy your home, and one of those is anger. Our theme verse for the whole series is, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So in other words, if we don't have God's help in our homes, we've got a problem on our hands. We've got to have God's help. And so we're looking at all these subjects. We're looking at the subject of anger. We are warned in the Bible about the destructive nature of anger. Proverbs 22:24 we read, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Don't develop a relationship with a man / or woman who manifests an angry nature. It will eventually turn towards you. You say, I don't know why he gets mad at the dog. I don't know why he wants to kick the dog. I don't know why he's yelling at the dog. Well, it won't be long. It'll be yelling at you. So you see that once anger is demonstrated, it will eventually point itself at everyone he loves. An angry person has the tendency to push people away that love them. And that's not what you want in a relationship. You want closeness, not people being pushed away. Proverbs 29 verse 22 says this, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Don't expect a peaceful relationship in a marriage where anger abounds. Don't expect that. Now you might have had that and seen that in your father or in your mother or your brother or your sister. But realize it doesn't have to be with you.
That's right.
And that's not what you want.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised. If I were to ask you, how many of you grew up and you had anger at home? Now, I didn't have that. But I know that over half the people would have to raise their hand. And I know a lot of you were raised up in good Christian homes, but everybody wasn't. And many, many people saw anger in their home and strife and discontentment and all of those things. And what happens is the children have to sort of tiptoe around because they're afraid they'll be the object of anger. And you don't want that for your kids. That is not the home that we want as believers. And so the Bible says an angry man stirreth up strife. He's looking for someone to vent his anger at or something to cause his anger to get out. And inevitably the angry man says, well, they just push my buttons. But don't have buttons that can be pushed. Don't have buttons that can be pushed. Don't be prompted by other people. So here's another verse, Proverbs 21, verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Oh, ladies, there would be a Bible verse there for you. I gave two verses about men, but now we have a Bible verse. It's better to dwell in the wilderness. Whoa. With a contentious and angry woman. And I'm sure there's not a man in here that has the guts to say amen to that. And we shouldn't, because we don't know any ladies like that. Right, fellas? We don't know any ladies like that. Amen. Men are not the only ones that manifest anger. For anger resteth in a lot of us. Whosoever possesses it brings destruction for all. So whether it's the man who has anger, or whether it's the wife who has anger, or whether it's a child that has angry child, whoever has anger, people want to avoid that. Let me go to the wilderness. I've known people who work long hours, and it's not always because they have a good work ethic. They're afraid to go home. They're afraid of what's going to be home. They don't want that. Our homes ought to be a welcoming haven for our families. It ought to be a safe haven. You ought to say, man, I can't wait to get home. Because this world is rough enough, but when you get home, it ought to be a haven. Every home ought to be a little bit like heaven. A little bit like heaven. And so that's what Christ can make for us. That's what Christ can do for us. He takes us from what we are, and he makes us into what we ought to be. It's a miracle. It's not just I'm just changing my personality. No, you can't do that. A leopard can't change its spots, and a man can't change his ways. But God can. God can change a man. And ladies, you take hope in that. God can change a man. Because I don't care who you marry, there's some areas he needs to change. I'm just speaking for myself. Whoever you marry, there's some things that man has to change. Now, you won't be able to change him, but God can. So you just keep praying, and God can change a man. But we also find that sometimes there's ladies that need to be changed as well. So ladies, let me put the other shoe on. Your husband did not marry a perfect woman. He married a woman. Now, you might be perfect in his eyes, but love is blind, right? Love is blind. And you probably have some issues that you need to work on as well. And there again, it's not like the husband can change those, but God can change both the husband and the wife, the man and the woman, and make us what we ought to be, and make us just fit. We fit together because we are created for each other, and God put us in that relationship. Here's another verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. It's a foolish thing. When you have anger in a home, you tear it down faster than you can build it up. You tear it down faster. How would you like to be on a construction site and you're trying to build something and someone else is walking around with a sledgehammer, whacking everything? You think, what in the world? Well, that's just his temperament. We just got to let him do what he feels like he needs to do. And so people are building stuff with 2x6s and another guy's going around whacking them. Well, you'll never get that house built. You'll never get anything built. Now, when you have anger, it will destroy more than you can build. As husbands, God holds us accountable to help build that home, not tear down that home. Anybody who has no knowledge and no sense and no wisdom can tear a home apart. But it takes great wisdom to try to build a home in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and a blessing to everyone who lives under that roof. Proverbs 16:32 says this, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So having self-control is more important than being well known for building great cities or building great buildings. Because if you can control the inside, God can use you to build something on the outside. But if you can only build on the outside, when you go home and you haven't built the inside, the very home that you've established is what falls apart. Do you realize that many, many successful people by this world's standards have never built a successful home? Never built a successful home. Oh, they're great builders. They're great producers. They're very wealthy. But they've not controlled the inside. And we as believers have to yield ourselves to the Lord and let Him work on us. Here's one last verse for a scriptural foundation. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When angry, we are not to sin. And that means to lash out at others. And not to keep our anger. It says, let not the sun go down in your wrath. We're not to keep our anger. We're to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I know it might be cold, but just let it go. They probably stole that from the Bible verse, didn't they? Let it go. Frozen had to let it go. Well, if you got anger, you better let it go. Something my wife and I started about, 16, maybe 18 years ago. Time flies. I'm not sure how long ago. But we started praying together. The single best thing we ever have done for our marriage is every night we hold hands and she prays and I pray. And we do that every single night. Well, every single night she's home. She's in Michigan tonight at TJ's home church. And your parents said hello. And so she's there. But every night we hold hands and she prays and I pray. Now, you say, well, if you do that, you never get upset, right? Don't make me answer that. No, sometimes I get upset over something. Now, when I get upset, I don't say anything. When I get upset, I get silent. I get silent. A lot of men are that way, right? They're the silent treatment. They just keep to themselves. And so we pray every night. And so sometimes I'm a little out of sorts. You know, she said something, and I know I'm a man, but it hurt my feelings. It did. It hurt my feelings. And it damaged my ego a little bit. And I didn't cry, but I was upset. And she'll say, and I'll just get in bed and I won't put my hand out. And she'll say, where's your hand? I said, it's by my side. And so she'll slap at me in the chest. Give me your hand. Give me your hand. Give me your hand. Okay. It is impossible to pray together and be upset. It is just impossible. I know. I've tried so many different ways. I have. I've tried so many different ways. It's just impossible to hold hands with your wife and pray together and be upset. And she won't let me get away with it either. And so we'll hold hands. And I'll say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Help me to do better in this. And I don't know why I always have to confess, and you know, I always think it should be her turn next time. But you ever play that? Well, I did it last time. You're supposed to apologize this time, and just you know, we take turns on this. It can't be just me all the time. Well, anyway, that's another subject. I'm trying to relate to everybody by sharing you all our challenges. So the Bible warns us about the destructive forces of anger. So I want us to know this about it. Don't think, well, that's just my problem, or it's no big issue. It is. It is. And even if you have a small anger problem, it'll snowball as life goes on. It'll snowball. It'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So if you just have a little anger problem, that's the time to deal with it. Amen. Don't wait till it's so big you can't push it anymore. When it's just that little and you start seeing it snowball, just say, I got to do something right now. I got to stop this. This is not God's plan for my life. This is not God's plan for our marriage. We've got to get rid of that anger. So the next thing I want us to see is that we can conquer this terrible urge to argue and be angry. We can. Whatever vices we would have, God always has a greater victory than whatever vices a man would have, a woman would have. God's victory is always greater, and if we'll take it to Him, He can solve whatever the potential problem that a marriage would have. And so I want us to see four things here. First of all, we need to realize that our anger will not work out the problem we are facing. It will not work out the problem we are facing. Now, a lot of people think that the volume of your voice is going to solve the problem. If I could just yell loud enough, she'll give in. But what you'll find is she'll try to match that volume and exceed it by one decimal point. And then you go this way and that way and that way, and before you know it, the neighbors are saying, quiet down, we can't go to sleep. Or one of them calls somebody in the blue uniform to knock on your door, you know. Like, you know, you got to calm it down here a little bit. That's not a way to handle things. So we see that we can... Anger will not work out the problem we are facing. Here's the Bible verse, James 1:20. The Bible says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And I know as a Christian you might say, well, I just had some righteous indignation. Well, yeah, maybe once or twice in your life, but if it's happening every week, it's not very righteous. It's just not very righteous. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So our anger is not the solution for the problem. Whatever the problem is. Your teenager just drove your car and they come back and they went a wreck. My car! No. Are you okay, son? Are you okay, daughter? You see, that child is what's important. That car is not what's important. Cars can be fixed. This last week, Miss Vicky was in a wreck. She was in a wreck. She was stopped, and a lady going about 40 miles an hour, I don't know, wasn't paying attention, and rammed into the back of her car, which... then rammed into the back of the car in front of her, which then ran into the truck in front of them. So it had to have a pretty good force to move three parked vehicles that were probably 5 to 6 feet at least in between each other. It rammed into the back of hers. It rammed into the... front of the car, and then the car, and the car that hit her, and the car that her car hit into, and that hit into the truck, both had to be towed. But her car was a Toyota 4Runner that a friend several years ago gave to our family, and I gave to Miss Vicky. And I wrote my friend and said, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us that vehicle. Because if she had been in her smaller Toyota that she used to drive all the time, she could have been seriously hurt. Whereas it was, her knees just bumped, and she was just a little sore. But besides that, her and Miss Williams, Melody Williams, was with her, and they were just fine. Praise God. God knew 2 years later that she would need a bigger vehicle. So next time I'm buying her a little tank. A little tank on wheels. So I'm saying, you know, you've got to be mindful. Don't ever be upset about a vehicle. Your child may be in a wreck. Your wife or your son or your daughter or your husband may. It's just a vehicle. Years ago, I went to a preaching conference and I came back and I came to my house and I noticed my parents' car was there. I said, "Oh, this is nice. Someone dropped me off. Mom and Dad," that's when we only had one car. And so I go in there and Miss Vicky's there. I give her a hug. I give her a kiss. I said, "Where's Mom and Dad?" And they said, "Well, they're home." And I thought, "Well, their car's out front." "Yeah, let me tell you about that. Our car burned up." "It did what?" "Yeah, I was driving down the road and all of a sudden the hood went poof. And then all of a sudden it was on fire. And I just had bought groceries, so I had to open up the trunk and get all the groceries out and go move them 40 feet away from the fire, and the whole front of it's on fire." I said, "You're worrying about groceries?" She said, "That's my grocery money." She had to get all those out. She had to get the kids out. She had to get the groceries out. And it burned up everything. 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 I opened that car up when I saw it a day later, and there was a pool of aluminum where the driver's seat used to be. There were no seats in it. There was no steering wheel. There was no tires. There was no nothing. And I said, "Well, we've always wanted a different car. Now God's going to give us a different car." And we had to pray that in because we didn't have any money. But God gave us a different vehicle. Listen, you got to realize it does no good. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Don't fly off the handle, whatever happens. Be very, very careful. Realize, secondly, that conquering your anger is of utmost importance and is greater than your other accomplishments. Now, we've read this already, but Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." So sometimes we can be very productive in the secular world. I mean, we can build businesses, we can build buildings, we can accomplish things, and yet we can be very destructive at home. We gotta have rule over our own spirit. And God will help us. God will help us. We can be like a wild man. Remember, in the New Testament, there was the maniac of Gadara. And the Bible says he ran around and he lived in the tombs and he would cut himself and they would try to bind him and he could not be bound. And then the people came and they saw him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And that's what Jesus can do. That's what Jesus can do. Now, you and I as Christians, we know we're going to heaven forever and ever. But until we get there, we are a work that Jesus wants to perfect. He wants to work on us and work on us and work on us and work on this. Now, I'm getting old enough to realize this. He will never finish his work this side of heaven. He keeps working on it. I thought sure by the time I got 60, I would have solved all my problems. But I haven't. I've found that, you know, the little kids sing this song, "He's still working on me." I think the senior choir ought to sing, "He's still working on me." Even when we're in our 80s and 90s, he's still working on us, you see. But we've got to let God work on that. Thirdly, realize that we are told definitively in the Bible to put away anger. So it's not just a nice suggestion for your home. It's not like it's just something that would really help you and help the relationship. It is a command of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, malice is an interesting word. It means with ill intent. Ill intent. So all these things come to hurt or to tear down somebody else. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Hey, we're believers. We shouldn't be swearing. We shouldn't be cursing. You can't hardly watch TV anymore or see things, even political stuff anymore, because always people swearing and cursing, and they don't like this guy, so they got to curse him out and swear him out. And it doesn't matter which side you're on. You don't want to listen to that as a believer. And so we're told definitively in the Bible to put anger away. Now, Jesus never tells us to do something we don't have the capacity of doing. He never tells us to do something we don't have the capacity of doing. But here's the little caveat to that. We can only do it with His help. We can't do it in our strength. We can only do it with His help. And if we'll humble ourselves enough to say, "Lord, I've got this problem. I need your help." If we'll humble ourselves enough, He'll help us. I'm telling you, He'll help us. But sometimes as a Christian, we just gotta get alone with God and maybe get on our knees and say, "Lord, I need help. I'm not so proud. I need help." You might have to go to a husband or to a wife and say, "Honey, I've got this problem, and I know it's not what God wants, but I need help. Would you pray for me? Would you pray with me?" It may be you have to go to a Christian brother, or ladies, a Christian sister, and go to some woman and say, "You know, I'd appreciate it. Could you pray with me?" Or to a godly man in our church and say, Would you pray with me? I've got some issues I need to deal with. Would you pray with me?" I'm afraid if we're not careful, we become so prideful that we act as though we have no problems. We have no issues. If you believe that, just ask your wife. Just ask your husband. They know all of our problems and all of the things that we need to deal with. Let's just be a people that have a humble heart. And let's not think we're here when we're here. The Bible says a man should not think of himself more highly than he is. We ought to think humbly, humbly. Someone might think you're a good Christian. Say, "No, I'm not a good Christian. I just have a good Savior. I got a wonderful Savior. I'm not a good Christian, but I have a good Christ. And that's who I'm looking to." And we need to act like that. The last thing is realize it is not God's will for your life for you to be an angry person. That is not God's will. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." But notice he says without wrath. He's saying, "I will that men pray everywhere." And then he says, "I want you to be godly men without wrath and without doubting." That's lack of faith. I want you to be full of faith. And I don't want you to have anger or wrath in you. So where's the key to that? I will that men pray everywhere. Fellas, when we're angry, it's an indication that we have a very small prayer life. You cannot spend time with Jesus but what his nature rubs off on you. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And the closer you and I get to Jesus, the more we reflect his nature, not ours. My only hope of having a good marriage is reflecting his nature, not Mike Mutchler's nature. Even though I was raised in a good home and raised to be a good man, my job is to reflect his nature, not mine. My nature can be pretty... I don't want to pray right now. I don't want to hold your hand. My nature can get pretty different like that. Now, I know I won't ask you guys, but I'm guessing that most of you would have to raise your hand too. We can conquer this terrible urge to argue and be angry. Now, here's the last thing I want to look at. We can deal with the angry person and not have an argument. So now, first we talked about if you have the anger issue, how do you deal with that? You have to humble yourself. You have to go to God. You have to confess that you need his help. You may have to go to your mate and say, pray for me, pray with me. You may have to go to others, say, you know, I got this challenge. I need prayer. I need help. Would you please help? Because God will help. But what if you're the person who has the angry mate? What if you're the person that has the has anger in the home, but it's not your problem, but it's a problem you have to deal with? How will you best handle it? Let me just tell you a way not to handle it. You don't pour gasoline on a fire. You don't pour gasoline on a fire. And every man who's ever started a charcoal fire has done such a foolish thing. How many have ever thrown gas on a... Of course I have. But once it burns your eyebrows away first, the first time it burns your eyebrows, poof, just poof, you think, don't do that again. Don't do that. I mean, it just registers really good. Don't do that. I wouldn't do that. You got a pile of leaves. Oh, I'm just going to throw some gas. No, I wouldn't do that. No, no. Not unless you can throw a long way. Okay, so how do you deal with it? First of all, you don't have to stir up the wrath of your mate or reply in like fashion. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So you got to decide, do you want to cover up the wrath? Do you want to smolder it? Or do you want to throw some timber on it so it just lights up? Soft words turneth away wrath. A soft answer. How come dinner's not ready right now? I'm so sorry, honey. I had to go to the store. I was missing some things, and I just got back. But have a seat and watch a little TV. I'll get you something to drink, and dinner will be ready in just a little while. Now, I know somebody said, I'd never do that. I know. But you're going to stir up anger. Oh, I've been working hard all day, and I've had the kids, and I've had this, and I had a flat, and I had to get this, and I had... And before you know it, you got a big argument. You got a 5-alarm fire going on in the household. No, a soft answer turneth away wrath. So, ladies, if your husband has an anger issue, learn to give a soft answer. Gentlemen, if you have someone in your home, maybe a wife or maybe a teenager or someone who has an anger issue, learn to speak very softly. Don't think that if you raise your decimals that you will overcome the anger. It won't happen. You got to learn to be very kind and a very soft answer. And by the way, when you'll do that, The person with anger will know I was wrong. I was wrong. Honey, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And that's what you want, because that contains anger, and that puts it down. A soft answer. Here's another verse. 2 Timothy 2:23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Foolish and questions. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do. So when someone comes in and they have an anger issue, don't give them the 20 questions right away. Just say, how was your day? Where did you go? Where were you? What'd you do? Who'd you, you know, don't give them the 20 questions. Just be very calm and just say, how was your day? But it stirs up wrath, the Bible says, and gender strife. And that's not what you want. Now, here's another thing. First, I said a soft answer, but here's the second thing. Don't bail out your mate who has generated a problem that's caused by anger. What? I must have misheard that. No, Pastor, you're supposed to bail your mate out if they get into a problem. Don't bail them out if anger got them in the problem. Don't bail them out. You say, well, what? Where'd you get that from? Would you believe the Bible? Would you believe the Bible deals with that? Proverbs 19:19 says this, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. You deliver him, you'll have to do it again and again and again and again. You'll have to do it your whole life. Sometimes it's better to let us suffer the consequences so we learn not to do certain things. I don't know how it was when you grew up. Here's how I was. Every time I did wrong, I got caught. Every time I did wrong, I got caught. And I don't know why it was. It was like if I'm working, and finally I just take a break and said, oh man, I'm so tired. That's when my father would come in around the house like, son, why aren't you working? It was the best thing ever happened to me. I always got caught. Had I not got caught, I would have just kept doing wrong and doing wrong. But every time I did wrong, I got caught. I've cursed once in my life. Once in my life. You're saying you're crazy. No, just once. My brother hit me in the ear with a snowball that had ice and gravel in it. And as a 16-year-old boy, I said, now I can't say it, but Brother Vestal, you go ahead and share with him. But if you'd write it down, I'll sign it. But I won't say it. But I cursed. And I look up and my father's on the front porch. I go, oh man, this is bad. I get hit in the ear with an ice ball, and now me and Dad's going to go have a conversation. He just stood there. He never said a word about it. Never said a word about it. But his presence said everything about it. And that's the last time I ever cursed. I didn't grow up in a home where I heard swearing. I didn't. So it wasn't a part of our vocabulary. It wasn't a part of our conversation. And the best thing that will ever happen is when you do wrong, you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. I know it's not fun. I know it. Well, I could lose my job over this. I know. And by the way, you can get another job. You can. Anybody ever have more than one job in their life? Anybody have the same job they had the first time in life? Anybody? A lot of times even teenagers don't have the first job. No, you can get a better job. But it's better to pay the consequences and learn the lesson. Pay the consequences. And ladies, if you have to lie about your husband, that's going to get old. It's going to get old. And you're going to lose all respect for your husband. You don't want to do that. So don't lie about him. Say, well, he called in sick. Well, I'm afraid he stayed out too late with his friends. I'm afraid that he is not feeling well. Maybe he has a problem. Maybe whatever has happened, let him just deal with it himself. No, honey, you'll have to call in. I can't do that. And fellows, never, if you owe a bill, never have your wife be the one to call your creditor. You call them. Honey, you got to call and try to get us some more money to pay the rent. No, you do that. And you call and you go get another job. And you earn some more money to pay the rent or pay the utilities or something. A lot of times men will slide off something to the wife like, you fix this. But God holds us as men accountable to run our home. It doesn't mean we have all the answers, but it does mean it drives us to God to get answers. It drives us to God. So if you get them out, if you deliver them, you'll have to do it over and over and over again. So here's what we've learned, and let me wrap it all up. First of all, we gave several Bible verses saying that we are not to be angry Christians. The Bible is saying that if you're an angry person, don't go with them. If you're an angry man, stay away. If you're an angry woman, it's better to be in the wilderness. So the Bible says anger is not something pleasant to be around. Secondly, we found that if you have an anger problem, you can deal with that. God can give you victory over that because God does say put away all anger and wrath and malice. And if God said to put it away, it can be put away. You do not have to be the man you were. You do not have to be the woman you were. God is constantly working in our hearts and God can make us what we ought to be. Now, it might not happen like that. It might not. It might take time. It might take prayer. It might take help. You might need to get some counsel from a pastor or some godly person. But you can get victory over it. And then we talked about, well, what if my partner, my wife, my husband, what if they have the angry problem? Well, then learn to give a soft answer. Soft answer turns away wrath. And don't deliver them. Let them suffer the consequences. You say, yeah, but we need the rent money. Hey, listen, God will always provide for His children. God will always provide for His children. David says this, I have been young and now am old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God says, David says, I've always seen God take care of His children. And He always will. He always will. So have a soft answer, but don't dig that person out of every hole they find themselves in. Let them work it out with God. And then they'll learn, I can't be doing this. This is not pleasant. I'm going to stop doing this. Well, things that will destroy your home, anger. I'm hoping that all of these things we can apply to our homes. Now, it may be tonight, and I don't know, it may be tonight, no one here really has that anger issues. But I do know this, all of us can have anger to some degree or other. I know that. I said I'm not an angry person. I didn't say I couldn't get angry. I just said that's not how I operate. But it doesn't mean I can't get that way. And so I've got to always be yielding myself to the Lord as well, just like anybody else. So let me say that this problem can be very destructive if it doesn't get dealt with, but it will help our homes if we'll deal with the anger and potential anger. And the best way is just have a soft answer for everybody. A soft answer for everybody. That God will use that better than anything. Well, in just a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer and we're going to extend an invitation. And it may be that God's working on your heart. It may be that God's working on your home. It may be that you have to some degree, an anger problem. Or it may be that you know someone you love very dearly who has an anger problem. Now, you could say, well, you know, I don't want to go to the altar during... He just spoke about anger. If I go to the altar, everybody's going to think, oh, he's got an anger problem. If you go to the altar, people are going to think you're a wise person. Because when you go to an altar, you're meeting with God. And you're saying, God, I want help in my home. And I've always found in my life, I want to get help when I have a small problem, not a big one. When I was a young teenager, I went to the altar every single time. I may be the only one in the church where I grew up went every single time. But I always realized I wanted to deal with little issues. And whenever the Holy Spirit of God tugged at my heart, I wanted to deal with it. Now, as a pastor, every time I go to a preacher's meeting, I always go to an altar. I always do. Well, people will say, oh, that's Pastor Musher. He must have some problems. I don't care what people think. I just got to care what God thinks. Please don't ever think about what people think. We're not here for people. We're here for God. And if God touches your heart about something, just say, I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to yield that to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray where you are. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that sometimes you know when the Holy Spirit of God wants you to settle something. And the altar is a wonderful way. And it may be you have other decisions. Maybe you're professing faith. Maybe you want to get baptized. Maybe you want to do something else that God has in store. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. And then we'll sing. And as God speaks to your heart, you come. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, that the Word of God will do its work. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would teach us what needs to happen in all of our hearts. Lord, I know areas of my life I sure want your help. Lord, I pray it's the same for all of these dear people. Now, Lord, help us respond as you prompt us to respond. Help us to obey your promptings in our heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If God's speaking to your heart, will you come? Will you step out and make that decision for Christ? It's so important. Let God do something in your heart. Let Jesus do something in your life. Right where you stand, you could be talking to the Lord. You could be sharing with Him some needs in your life. God do something in your heart, in your home, in your life. just a minute, let God speak to your heart. What is it that Christ wants to do? You may be seated. God bless you. Appreciate all the families who pray together and settle things, and what a blessing. Eric Borst came tonight to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Could I just tell you a wonderful story? Melissa Suda never knew her birth father. And for the last several months, I think earlier this year, Miss Vicki, I talked to her this afternoon. She's been praying with Melissa for months because she had a desire to meet her birth father. And so she prayed and prayed and got a talk on the phone and found out who her birth father was. Well, yesterday, he was able to show up at her home and meet her. This morning, he was able to be here in the service. This morning, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And this evening, he is following the Lord in baptism.
Amen.
Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't that a wonderful story? To meet your father, and now you have this common bond through Jesus Christ, and what a blessing, what a blessing. And so Eric will follow the Lord in baptism here tonight. First of all, we're going to watch the next video, and then we'll see Eric get baptized.
Don't miss a Taste of Christmas bake sale next Sunday, December 15th. All proceeds will directly benefit our bus ministry. We are still in need of bakers, so if you are able to sign up to be a part of this event, or if you would like more information, please stop by the welcome desk.
Plan to join us next Sunday, December 15th at 11 a.m. for Grandview's Christmas musical, The Joy of Christmas. It will be a fully orchestrated musical with our choir and orchestra.
The Christmas Giving Tree is set up in the foyer. Our goal is to provide 300 gifts to our children's department on December 22nd. Please help us by purchasing $10 gifts for families in need. Simply choose a label off of our giving tree and buy the age-appropriate gift, then attach the label to your wrapped gift and place it back under the giving tree or bring it by the church office.
Mark your calendars for our Christmas Eve candlelight service on Tuesday, December 24th at 5 p.m. and our New Year's Eve service on Tuesday, December 31st at 5 p.m. Both will be an hour long and will take the place of the weekly Wednesday night service.
The Red Cross Blood Drive will be held here at Grandview on Sunday, January 5th at 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It'll be held in the Red Cross bus outside the gym foyer. Schedule your appointment today by going online to redcrossblood.org and enter the sponsor code Grandview Cares or sign up at the welcome desk.
Thank you for joining us today. If it's your first time here, please stop by the guest reception area in the foyer following the service to receive a gift. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
God bless you, Eric.
This is Eric. Eric, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Oh, wonderful. God bless you, Eric. That is wonderful, wonderful. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful, Way to end a Sunday night service with that wonderful, wonderful story of salvation and baptism. Well, it's been a good day in the Lord. And I trust that the Word of God has ministered to your heart as we went through verse by verse through the book of John this morning. We have gone through, we are to chapter 14 now. Next Sunday, of course, we'll have our musical. But then the next Sunday, we will be able to get back into John. We'll see. I may even preach one Christmas message. So we'll see. I might do that the next Sunday. But it's going to be a wonderful time. I trust you're having a great time this time of year. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we dismiss. And Brother Vessel, will you come and dismiss us in prayer?
And let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for an incredible day that you've provided for us. We're thankful that we could be a part of and observe your hand of work in many people's lives. Thank you for these who've labored so much today and ministering to people, and I ask that you would please bless each home represented. And God, as we begin our week, as we move forward throughout this week, I pray that you would align our path with those of whom we can encourage, minister to, and help. Please bless with our upcoming events, Lord, as we seek to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bless those, our outreach ministries throughout this week. Lord, we ask that you would use us as we go out and share our faith. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.